If you could open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Some of my time with you here recently at Offertory, we've been having some of our different teachers begin to just kind of share their heart and burdens for the body. We're going to, Lord willing, continue to do that. We're going to pause today on that. And there's just some things as I was thinking about teaching that just felt led to share with you all today. And, you know, oftentimes, and for good reason, we think of teaching God's word, and we think of whether it be the pulpit, whether it be in a classroom, maybe in a Bible study or a vacation Bible school, which little plug here, starts in earnest after church today. We'll be setting up. So looking forward to that. Please be praying with us in that. If the Lord so has moved you to help serve, look forward to that time together with you. But be praying for us in that and for these hearts of these young ones coming. I don't want to miss that opportunity to encourage us in that way. But really within that, and you think about as Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and he says he writes so that one ought to know how to conduct themselves in the household of God, which is the pillar and support of the truth. And we know that the church is not merely the building. It's not just those that maybe are in a teaching role within the church, but the church is all of us that have given our life to Christ, and the Lord has knit together in that way. And there is teaching that begins to go beyond just within the walls of the classroom or within those settings and those studies. And within the word teaching or teacher, clearly there is within the definition a particular role and office of a teacher. But a part of that as well is really instilling doctrine, instilling good teaching in those fundamental truths of God that do not change. And we actually begin to see some examples of encouragement in this way that how though you may not be in a role of a teacher within the body, there still are those opportunities to begin to point towards that sound teaching in different things that begin to come up in our lives. And so if you look at me in 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, this is the passage in which, as we oftentimes repeat, that our Heavenly Father is the God of all comfort. And as I've shared it sometimes in the past, it's one of my favorite words in Scripture, parakaleo, that word comfort, gives a picture of calling to one side and strengthening. And clearly, as you look in here, that we realize that our Heavenly Father is the one who is the only one who can begin to bring that comfort in. And he says he comforts us in verse 4 in all our affliction. What a great encouragement that is as we begin to go through different times of trials in our life, that there is one that we can turn to who is the source of all comfort in our life. But the passage doesn't stop there. And that's where I want us to take a look at in particular, because it gives us a further reason why we might receive that comfort. He says, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. He begins to go in verse 6. He says, look, if we're afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort. There begins to be this opportunity as God begins to strengthen us. We turn to him that God would give opportunity to begin to strengthen in the same way with others who begin to encounter those same difficulties. He actually uses himself in a way, if you go down with me in verse 8, he says, we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. There are those times that those afflictions begin to come into our lives, but there's those times that the brethren begins to go through those same things. How do we begin to encourage one another in that time? Well, the passage goes on. He says, again, that so that, much like we see as the comfort begins to come in, the therefore, the why we begin to go through that. He says, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. It's him who delivered us from so great a peril and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You begin to read a passage like this and you realize that there's a calling, that God has so instilled this strengthening in you and I, and there's going to be times that we're going to be talking with someone in the brethren and there's going to be a hurt going on. There's going to be a wrestling. What are we encouraging them in? What is that sound fundamental doctrine about who our God is that we're encouraging them in? Do we see it as an opportunity to get into our own thoughts, or do we see it as an opportunity to begin to go, you know what? I know for sure there's one who can bring you real comfort, but that means putting your trust in Him. That means setting your hope only on Him. That's a teaching that goes beyond just in the realm of a classroom. Those are opportunities each and every one of us have. You know, in the same sense, if you were to look back with me, we've been in the book of Joshua with the youth on Sunday mornings. If you look at me in Joshua chapter 4, there's going to be those times that begin to come during times of difficulty. But there's also going to be those times when it seems like things are going really well. In chapter 3, God begins to say that there's going to be wonders done among His people. And if you're familiar with Joshua chapter 3, it is this great time of the people of Israel. They're beginning to go through the Jordan, only the water is piled up, as Scripture would begin to tell us. And they begin to go through. You've got the priests standing in the middle of the Jordan. They're holding the ark, and the people have gone through. And it's just a wondrous time. And there's times that God does just things that we go, I can't even wrap my mind around what God has done. But, you know, at the same time, we paralleled this back. You go into the book of Exodus, you have a time that just a generation before that the people of Israel go through water where there should be water. And what happens shortly after? You get into the wilderness, the grumbling and complaining, the forgetting of these things, the compromise beginning to come in. There's a danger towards not remembering what God has done and giving Him the glory in that. And so what God would begin to have Joshua do at this time, and He'll begin to talk about this twice with these stones that to give us a setting. He begins to say in chapter 4 that they're to take the 12 men, one from each tribe, begin to go and get these stones from where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan, and they begin to bring them back. And He says that there's meant to be a sense of remembrance with this. And if you would look with me in as you go towards the end of the chapter, He says, verse 21, He says to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. The Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. You know, I think in particular within this, I'm going to have times, as the passage would talk about fathers with their children, and we talk about being a dad, and within a household, there's going to be things that are going to come in, and there's every part of our flesh or the society around us that's going to go, well, you want to embrace that pat on the back and take those opportunities to be the hero in that setting. And you see that pumped up. Maybe we'll even give you a day and we'll talk about being a dad. And as Pastor Josh said, there's great, we want to appreciate and honor those that have gone before us and have set great examples. So we don't want to lose that. But you don't see him beginning to say to the children, well, let's talk about how great the priests were, how great Joshua was, or your parents that carried you through that time. He says, remember the Lord did this. Amen. And I think about those times that we have, not only as parents, but times that we have with one another as well, that things are going to happen that are just so clearly the kindness and the grace of the Lord. Do we stop and take the opportunity to elevate him? You know, things will come. Maybe you get a job. Maybe something happens grand in your life. A child begins to come in. Those are all things from him. No matter how big, no matter how small. And those are opportunities we have to share good doctrine with one another. To go, no, let me tell you the one who did it. And I don't want to forget that. And we can all have great and grand stories of things that have happened in our lives, but if we don't attribute it to the one who even put very breath in our nostrils, then we lost that opportunity. So I want to encourage you. Sometimes we think, I'm not leading a Bible study. Maybe God hasn't called or placed me into the role of a teacher. you have every opportunity, as things begin to come into your life, into your brothers and sisters' lives, to begin to instill good teaching with one another of who we begin to point to, who we put our trust in, who we give the glory to. And I can't think of anything better to leave behind than that. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we want to give you all the thanks and glory. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. And Lord, you bring us through times of difficulty as well, but you do it for our good. You actually tell us that we can consider it all joy in going through various trials, because we know that you're doing a good work in us, and you're giving us opportunity to elevate you within the body, and even those that we come into contact with outside the body. But Lord, may we look for ways in each and every one of our conversations to point to you, to encourage one another to trust you more today, and to elevate and glorify your name. Pray for this time with the children coming in this week as well. May that be what they walk away with, is how good you are, how much you love us, Lord, because nothing else is going to give them a firm foundation but you. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.